Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik sallim. This is the Asharaf of Adara Sheikh Hazrat Arif Billah Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Saab Rahmatullahi Alayhi. The title is Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda. Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda. Zindagi meri hai tera zikr liqa. Aur meri maut hai tujhse hu main juda. Zindagi meri hai tera zikr liqa. Aur meri maut hai tujhse hu main juda. Tere bin kyun andhera andhera hua. Meri duniya ka shams o kamar kya hua. Tere bin kyun andhera andhera hua. Meri duniya ka shams o kamar kya hua. Bahar toofan gham hai mukhalif hawa. Meri kashti ka hai tu hi bas na khuda. Bahar toofan gham hai mukhalif hawa. Meri kashti ka hai tu hi bas na khuda. Teri rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. Har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. Teri rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. Har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. Tere daryaye rahmat ka hai aasra. Warna akhtar hai aamal se benawa. Tere daryaye rahmat ka hai aasra. Warna akhtar hai aamal se benawa. Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda. Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. Ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda, ae khuda.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's beautiful ashar of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Ali Billah Rumi Waqt Tabrizi Zamana. Very beautifully presented in poetic form, but this is a very, very great bayan and bayanat of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. That Hazrat is teaching us the reality of life and why Allah Ta'ala sent us here. And like Hazrat has taught, this is the loving translation of the Kalima La Ilaha Illallah. Normally when we learn the Kalima in our childhood days, then sadly we don't progress to learn the reality of this kalima. We still know the meaning, the basic meaning, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. But Hazrat explains, as you tread the path of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now when you say La ilaha illallah, then you say, Allah, mera koi nahi ah tere siwa. So Allah, besides you, who is there for me? And like our Hazrat explained so beautifully, if a wife has to tell a husband who's got a heart, that who is there for me now? I've got no father, no brothers, you're the only one I rely on. And if that man has got a heart in his bosom, then he'll melt and he'll take care of his wife, etc. And so Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is the creator of love, Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator of mercy, when we say, Ya Allah, who is there for me besides you? Then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes down in josh. But to attain this, Hazrat explains that this is the part of the love of Allah. And that is why Allah Ta'ala has sent us in this world, that not to pass our time, not to get involved in dunya so much, that we are so involved in just making more of dunya, and we become unmindful of our reality, that we have to leave everything behind and meet Allah Rabbul Izzat. So for that Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunum as-sadiqeen. That, O people, your first important responsibility is to recognize Allah, that is, bring iman. Then build a strong bond with Allah Ta'ala, and kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. How you'll build this bond and become the great friends of Allah, be with the true righteous servants of Allah, who have got this love of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, who have got this noor of taqwa and kayfiyat ihsan, all the time in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sit in their majalis with an open heart to gain this reality. Then you'll see, Hazrat beautifully mentions here, Mera koi nahi ah tere siwa, eh khuda, eh khuda, eh khuda. That, oh my Allah, khuda, which Hazrat has explained to us so beautifully, that it is a Farsi word which means as khud, that Allah ta'ala who is always existing, Allah Ta'ala who is forever in existence. So Allah, you are who have created the entire universe, and not just created it, the whole world belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So Allah, besides you, who can they be there for me? And in the middle of the night, when a person gets up in tahajjud and starts making dua and he cries and he takes a deep sigh, ah, oh Allah, besides you, there is nobody for me. Which door can I ever turn to? And there are many incidents. The days of Hajj has just passed now. The incident of that famous sheikh who went 30 years for Hajj. And every year he's hearing La Labbaik. And the 30th year when he took his khadim, his assistant, what, he also heard it. So he said, Hazrat, why are you going still so many years over and over? He said, which door is there for me besides Allah? Then Allah Ta'ala said, when you have realized this, then all your 30 years of Hajj, although it's not worth being accepted, we accept it. And we give it the highest degree of acceptance. So this is what we have to come to learn here. Never become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Just keep on coming and knocking at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will learn to learn in the company of the friends of Allah how to knock at the door of Allah Ta'ala. That zindagi meri hai tera zikro lika, aur meri maut hai tujhse hu main juda. That a person who starts learning to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is real life. Like Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, mal masal ladhi yazkuru rabbah wal ladhi la yazkuru rabbah kama salil hayy wal mayyit. A person who remembers Allah Rabbul Izzat, and a one who doesn't remember Allah, is like the living and the dead. And in the beginning, as learners like myself, we will just learn how to make zikr of Allah. But the reality of that zikr has to penetrate the heart. Once it starts penetrating the heart, then we'll realize that real zikr and the object of zikr is, as we read the hadith Qudsi when we start our zikr, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. That Allah says, you make my zikr, I am your companion. So that is you meeting with Allah already. Then you'll enjoy the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and you'll want to make the zikr of Allah. Otherwise, like Hazrat explained myself, we just start the zikr of Allah and we fall off to sleep. And we are unmindful. Whereas zikr is something that's supposed to take us out of our unmindfulness. And that is zikr. You start making zikr, then Allah Ta'ala says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish salah for my remembrance. Then you'll enjoy salah. Then you will look forward to making all. Forget, as Hazrat teaches us here, how we are looting in our salah, all the rakats or the sunnahs or nafal, we're not completing. And then if something of our dunya goes, then we are crying. Why did we lose this? Why did we lose that? But when a person starts making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nobody will have to tell him to get up for fajr, he'll be up for tahajjud already. And then he'll enjoy to make all his other nafal ibadat. And when he doesn't do that, Hazrat says here, or more, Mary Mothe Tustehu May Judah. And when I'm separated from you, O Allah, the moment I'm just unmindful, or I'm just in the wrong company, or just talking with some friends and talking about all this new world order and these conspiracies, then I realize, what? I'm like a dead man, I forgot where I am. I forgot who I am. So to get this reality and realize, and that is why we see people falling into depression, because they're in a state of unmindfulness. So they're like dead people. And to the solution to it and the medicine is the company of the friends of Allah and the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. But you look for your solution and medicine by the psychologists who themselves they need treatment. And they give you antidepressants and make you more depressed. So the solution is the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we'll see, as Hazrat mentioned there so beautifully, that tere bin kyu andera andera hua, mere dunya ka shamso kamar kya hua. That, oh Allah, when I was making your zikr and I was in your obedience and trying my best to obey your commands according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it looks like the sun and the moon was bright for me. Life was very enjoyable. But the moment I became unmindful, I went in the wrong environment or mixed with the wrong friends and I became negligent, then it became like dark. What happened to the sun? The sun is shining outside. But the real sun is that nur of iman that's supposed to be in the heart. Otherwise life is like everybody today, we say life is depressing. Life is very stressful. But the friends of Allah Rabbul Izzat, no matter, as Hazrat explains in the next couplet, no matter what conditions come outwardly, they are totally in control of themselves. Because they know, halat comes from Allah Ta'ala. And the solution to the halat is only from Allah Ta'ala. That we have to turn more to Allah Ta'ala, make more tawbah istighfar, make more zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attend the majalis of the friends of Allah Ta'ala even more, to get our spiritual doses. Sadly today we are standing in the line for doses for our body and worried of the vaccine, whether it's going to cause us harm or not, we can't even see. Whereas we have to get the real spiritual dose, we don't have time for this. And then that is why the world seems dark for us. What is happening? Hazrat says, Mere tufani gham hai mukhalif hua hawa, Mere kashti ka hai tu hi bas na khuda. And Hazrat says that in the ocean of this grief, that, oh Allah, I want your love. There is, in this ocean of yours, there is such like a storm that is blowing me away. I am coming to get your love, oh Allah. You come in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you realize what was the cause of my depression, my problems, all these haram insurance policies, etc. I thought that is going to help me. But that causes more grief in my life. And now when a person starts deciding to change his life, then Allah Ta'ala, system is that Allah will test us. And then Hazrat says, when the test comes, and people will also pass remarks, your own family will say, now you want to act very pious, you want to change your life, etc. You want to cancel your policies, etc. So Hazrat is saying, the storms, the winds are blowing against me. But the ship that I have jumped in, that the ship that is going to take me to you, O Allah, it is only you that is piloting my ship. That is my chef that is guiding me towards you. So I shouldn't worry what people will say. I shouldn't worry what the atheists or the scientists will say. I should listen attentively to the friends of Allah who will give us that absolute dose which is directly from Allah Rabbul Izzat, from Qur'an-i Kareem and the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody will tell you something else, that you are a fool, you're not taking the vaccine, you're not wearing your mask, etc. Don't be, and then they will tell you, you cancel your insurance, see what happened to your properties now. What happened? A person, Allah Akbar, like that, one incident we heard now, that he canceled his insurance many years ago, and then after that, his shop got flooded, etc. All those goods went down, the family also was nagging him, why did you cancel it? He kept quiet, he said it's from Allah. After that he didn't take any bank loans or anything. And he carried on buying and selling slowly, slowly. Today he's got a big flourishing hardware. In the midst of all the looting and turmoil, all other shops around were burnt, his shop was protected. And in that, because every day he closes for Zohar, he closes for Asr. And all his Muslim staff must go for the namaz or jamaat. So Allah Ta'ala shows, Hazrat says, that the winds can be blowing against you, but when Allah is steering your ship, then nobody can cause you harm. Tere rahmat ka khurshid roshan hua. Now when a person realizes this, that you just remain firm, no matter, it's not easy, but the reward of it is very, very great. And that is why regularly the company of the friends of Allah, regular majalis, and then to do our zikr daily, then Allah Hazrat says that the sun of your rahmat, O Allah, has just become enlightened in my life. That although I thought that I left all that life, that I was working in a corporate world, or all that policies I cancelled, but now I see, although it seems very gloomy, but I see your nur of rahmat has enlightened my heart. I feel very light and very comfortable. And har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. And that I was worthy of severe punishment, which Allah Ta'ala warns us in the Qur'an-i Kareem. Get involved in interest, in haram ways of making business, etc. Then you are worthy of terrible war against Allah Rabbul Izzat. So where I was really heading to, what war against Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah Ta'ala all of a sudden just opened my way. And Allah's fazal and karam brought me to the friends of Allah Ta'ala, and now I became free from all those crimes that I've committed. Allah has forgiven me also. That is Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is so kind, so merciful. And then Hazrat finally explained, when you tread this path of the love of Allah, and you start realizing that my only solution is in trying my best to obey Allah's commands according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a person will realize that I must carry on in this path. And as you carry on, now you won't think that, no, I am a very great friend of Allah Rabbul Izzat. But you'll be still worried, am I accepted by Allah or not? So Hazrat further teaches us that as great as you can be, a lover of Allah, but the sign of the love of Allah is this, te tere darjae rahmat ka hai asra, warna akhtar hai amal se be nawa. That, O Allah, we only have hope in your oceans of mercy. That your oceans of mercy are such that my amal is totally rotten. It can't be worth accepted in any court, O Allah. But your mercy is such that, Allahu Akbar, in the zikr Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali says, غالبی بر جازبائی مشتری شاہی در درمان دارا واخری. Oh Allah, you are that badr that will bud for the worst thing. And as our Shaykh teaches us, that Allah Ta'ala has bought the worst thing in us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Our soul, we just pulled us to haram. Allah bought that filthy, dirty soul. And our wealth, how we earning today, etc. What all the dust of interest, whatever it can be. But Allah bought that bad wealth, and in return, Allah is offering Jannat. So we have to realize that is where we have to be going through. Then whatever conditions come, a person won't become despondent. But we'll know it comes from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Otherwise, Hazrat says that, O Allah, that my amal I have got totally not worth any value in your court. But oh Allah, your mercy is so great that only upon your mercy we have great hope. So we shouldn't be despondent and lose hope in the mercy of Allah. But together with that, we have to change our direction towards Allah Ta'ala and run towards Allah according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that we can only learn from the true, pious, righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give me all of us tawfiq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. From the kitab of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, Hayatul Muslimin, and the solutions to save us from all the problems which the Ummah is going through. Ruh number 13, Zikrullah, remembering Allah Ta'ala in abundance. The Quran and Majid and the Hadith are filled with commands to remember Allah Ta'ala constantly and in abundance. The thawab and the significance of Zikrullah are indeed great. Zikrullah is not difficult. It is indeed a most simple duty. One who is neglectful of such an important, yet simple and most rewarding practice is most unfortunate. Indifference to zikrullah is an invitation to calamity upon oneself. Zikr has been absolutely simplified. It is free from conditions and restrictions. Time, number, wudu, place, etc. have not been made necessary conditions for zikr. There is therefore no difficulty in making zikr. There is absolutely no valid excuse for refraining from engagement in constant zikr. For making zikr, it is not necessary to have a tasbih in the hand. The use of a tasbih is permissible. One may therefore use it to facilitate the remembrance of the number of times one chooses to recite a particular form of zikr. A tasbih is also beneficial for inculcating in one the habit of constant zikr. For this purpose, the use of a tasbih is therefore best. Some people who are not in the habit of making zikr constantly feel that by keeping a tasbih in hand at most times, one will develop riya, show, since people will regard the holder of the tasbih as a pious person. This thought prevents them from keeping a tasbih at hand. The result of this attitude is that they do not develop the habit of zikr. It should be realized that riya is an internal condition. If one's intention is to attract people's attention and to display piety, then only will the question of riya arise. Riya is not what others think of one. One should not indulge unnecessarily in such suspicions, which are merely traps of shaitan to divert one from constant zikr. Shaitan also endeavors to deceive the believer and divert him from constant zikr by whispering into him that zikr merely with the tongue, when the heart is engrossed in worldly affairs, is useless. Know that this is a trap of shaitan to divert one from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. As long as one's intention at the commencement of the zikr was to obtain thawab and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, while one continues to acquire these benefits, even if the heart does not accompany the tongue in the zikr. However, during one's free time, when making special zikr, endeavor to control the attention of one's heart so as to concentrate on the zikr. Do not indulge in futility, useless activities, for this diverts the heart from the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Some ayat and hadith will now be mentioned in regard to zikrullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, "Remember me, and I will as a favor remember you." Surah Baqarah. Praising those who constantly engage in zikr, the Quran Sharif says, "The intelligent people are those who remember Allah Ta'ala while standing, sitting, and lying down." Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran and Majid, "Remember, that is, make zikr of your Rabb in your heart, that is, silent zikr, with humility and fear, and make zikr in a voice which is less than jahar, less than loudness, morning and evening, and be not amongst the indifferent ones." Zikr should be made at all times. This is clear from the command in the ayat to make zikr morning and evening, which means the whole day. Zikr should also be preferably be made silently. The zikr may also be made audibly, but not shouting and screaming. This is stated in the term less than jahar, dun al-jahri. There is no merit in making zikr by means of shouting. However, if some sheikh of the tasawuf, who is steadfast on the sunnah, devises loud zikr for his murid as some remedy for spiritual conditions, then such loud zikr will be permissible. But one should remember not to disturb the peace and sleep of others by one's loud zikr. Disturbing other people is sinful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to fit me to speak, first we engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah has kept our complete solution, our success in deen. And in deen, after iman, the greatest thing is namaz. And so in order to, and namaz is that ibadat, that if we establish our namaz, our whole deen, if we make our work, make effort and correct our namaz, in quantity also, quality also, by the barakat of namaz, our whole deen will come in order. And when a person's deen is in order, his dunya also is made. And of course, his akhirat will also be made. So with all these present conditions, many of us wonder what the solution is, what must we be doing, how must we go about getting out of all these problems, save ourselves from these problems, our families, etc. The greatest thing is to resort to deen, and in deen, the most important is namaz. And then through the barakat of namaz, to work and make effort that the whole of deen comes into our lives. Allah tabaraka ta'ala in various places in the Quran Sharif has explained the great, great importance of namaz, salat. And these conditions which are all coming, are coming from Allah ta'ala. Though outwardly it will seem that it is because of some worldly cause that these things are coming. Whether it is the virus, according to the scientists, they will explain certain outward causes. Whether it was this unrest and violence, looting, etc., we will also ascribe it outwardly to certain causes. And people of the world, whether they are scientists, whether they are politicians, whether they are people in government, politicians, etc., their limit of their vision is this dunya. And they will just work on that, that they will see the causes of what this dunya's causes are. And behind all that, the real truth and real authority and absolute power is only Allah Ta'ala. And that not only an alim of deen, but an ordinary mu'min, iman is that you see in everything the hand of Allah, that Allah is the doer of everything, whatever it can be. For example, this glass with water, yeah, outwardly it will seem that somebody has put the glass, somebody has poured the water, and they have put it. But in reality, all this, the water, we all 100%, everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim, will have to accept that we cannot create, we cannot make water. Right? Scientists, with all their knowledge, and they have made out that water is H2O, two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen. And they've got more than enough hydrogen and oxygen in their laboratories. But tell them to use all that and make one drop of water. They cannot make one drop of water. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala, when He sends water, when those clouds come in one cloud, Allah protect us all. At the moment there in Konkan, in India, the rains that are just not stopping incessantly, the rains are just coming down. How much of water is coming down? So that is all in the control of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Outward causes, husband and wife meet, they cohabit, and a child is conceived, a child is made, that's the outward. But in reality, not the husband can ever, even if just with a little bit of honesty, he will have to admit that I'm not at all the maker of this child. He is just the outward means which Allah has made. Otherwise, he can't make his own eyes, he can't look after his own eyes. Even if he is an optician, an optometrist, whatever, how much knowledge he has got, his own eyes are not in his control also. If he's a cardiologist, his own heart is not in his control. And he cannot make a heart. They can perhaps do some bypass, put some stents or something, or perhaps a heart transplant already, but also. But a heart itself, that only Allah Ta'ala is the maker. And the functioning of that heart, which works 24 hours all the time, throughout our lives, from the time when the child is in the womb of the mother, that heart is functioning, and when Allah has decreed that it must stop functioning, when maut is written, then nobody can make it function. It can be, you can be going for a heart operation, you can be on the operating theater of the top cardiologist of the world, but when Allah has decreed that heart is going to stop working, nobody can make it work. So the outward causes of everything are there. Allah has made the system of this dunya cause and effect. But for a mu'min, an ordinary mu'min, and this is what is iman, if a person is a very great alim also, and there are many like that, Jews, Christians also, who have got lot of knowledge of deen. Shaitan also, how much knowledge of deen he has got. But that iman, yaqeen, they don't have. They won't be able to see that Allah is the doer. So behind all this, we have to realize Allah Ta'ala is the doer. Dunya, again, for the people of this dunya is the limit of their vision. That we have to live for this dunya. We have to live it up here. We have to make money, make means in order to make money. And then when you make money, then to buy things, etc., have everything to become wealthy, to have all the amenities, all the facilities, and then to make investments, the limit is just this dunya. And in all these things today, unfortunately, many of us who are as Muslims, and that iman was supposed to let us see the hand of Allah, the power and qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, but our eyes are also limited to this dunya thing, and we limited it also to this dunya. The causes also, and the solutions also, we limit to the things of this dunya. That whatever the solutions are of this dunya, whether it's masks, whether it is medicine, whether it is all these protocols that have to be followed, this is all of the people of dunya. And many of us also, we feel that that is the solution. Whether it is the vaccine, whether it is the mask, the distancing, whatever it is, our limit is also there. As far as the other aspect of dunya, that dunya is our life. So we must have beautiful homes here, and that is our main worry. Our cars must be the best, our homes must be the best, our dressing must be the best, our lifestyle. But a person who has got iman, in all matters he will see, my object is the akhirat. Dunya is a place of necessity. Yeah, we have to live, Allah has made it. So how much we require for a shelter, how much we require for clothing, how much we require for food, that will be the limit to that. But his attention and his focus will be always on the akhirat. People of this dunya's knowledge will be everything to them. And the more degrees you get, the more of dunya's knowledge you get, that will be their success, that will be their achievements. And a person of deen, his achievement will be knowledge of Quran and Hadith, which deals with subjects which are out of this world. It speaks of things which are under the world, in the life of the qabr, or above the skies, Jannat, etc. It doesn't deal. That is where a mu'min should be. So in order, if we have that, to build that yaqeen is absolutely essential. And in all those things, then this dunya's little bit of precautions, etc., what are within the limits of Sharia, and which confirm to Sharia, to take them, there is no harm in that. Like a person eats food, but the food must be halal food. He must not be haram food. He must stay away from doubtful food. He must eat halal food. Clothes to wear, it's in order, but the clothes must be made of also, earned also with halal money, and the clothes itself also. There mustn't be some pig element of it in it, etc. It mustn't have other types of wrong writing, etc. on it. So to wear that clothes is in order. All, everything else also, the limit, the things of this dunya, within its limits is permissible. But to put our yaqeen on that food, to put the yaqeen on the medicine, on the operation, this is haram. Is the yaqeen must be only on the Zat of Allah Ta'ala. To make asbab our arbab, our gods, that is shirk. That is totally haram. We use it, but and this actually also, Allah was not in need of it also, even of asbab. But in the asbab, Allah has put our test and our imtihan, that I will make them use the asbab, but that they must have this yaqeen that the asbab are not doing their things. The yaqeen must be with Allah Ta'ala. So if we understand that, and may Allah give us all the tawfiq to understand that, then the solution to the problems also will also be beyond what the asbab of this dunya. And it will be out of this world, out of not the things of this dunya. So there are two great things which we have to, of the many things of deen, that we should resort to as solutions. First of all, we must understand that everything is from Allah. Either by the command of Allah Ta'ala, Allah commanded it, or either by the permission of Allah, Allah permitted it. So much so that even if somebody makes jadu, that jadu cannot have effect also unless Allah Ta'ala permits it also. The fire to burn, it cannot burn also, it can only burn by the command of Allah Ta'ala. And if Allah Ta'ala does not want to, and it can only act in accordance to the permission and command of Allah. For the fire, for Namrud and whoever else who might have entered it, it would have been a fire that would burn them. But for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the very fire, Allah made it a beautiful, enjoyable garden. The same way, Ashab-e-Ukhdud, which the Quran Sharif also explains, details comes in the Hadith Sharif. That same fire for the people who were believing in Allah Ta'ala, and they did not believe in the commands of the king, and that he commanded them it must do idol worship, and he gave the order that such people must be thrown into the fires. He had dug trenches and burned fires in those trenches, and whoever doesn't make sajda to the idols must be thrown in there. So the people were being thrown, but as they were thrown, that same fire became a garden for them. So much so that a lady with a child, a baby infant came, and they told her also she had to make sajda. She refused to the idols. Then they grabbed the child and threw it in the fire. And now the mother became emotional, and she thought that perhaps just let me make outwardly sajda to the idols, I keep my belief in order. But the child screamed out at that time, "Oh Amma, my mother, never ever do that. Coming here in the fire, this is a place of great enjoyment." She was thrown in also. And she started shouting out to all the people, "Coming here, pleasure and enjoyment is here in the fire." Allah had made it for them a beautiful garden. So much so that now the people, the king had ordered his police that those who don't make sajda to the idols must be thrown in the fire. When the people heard this clearly, they all started jumping into the fire. And they started enjoying and calling more people. Now the police had to stop people from jumping into the fire. The king addressed the fire and said, "Fire, have you lost your quality, your power? You have to burn." So he says, "You come in here and you'll see that how I burn." The king, for the king, he would have burnt him. And he said, I'm a sword in the hand of Allah, and who on whom Allah uses me, in whichever way. The same knife a crook uses to kill a person. The same knife a doctor uses to cut a person and operate on him, and give him shifa and cure. And the crook uses it to kill him. So Allah Ta'ala, for whom he wants to, he makes the fire into enjoyment and pleasure. The same knife, when it is used on Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, it does not cut. And Allah Ta'ala, when Allah gives the command for cutting, then that knife can cut. When Allah takes out the command, no matter how sharp a knife, and with what power and strength, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, even if I have to put it on a rock, it will cut the rock. But the delicate skin of my young little child, Ismail, it wouldn't cut it. So everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So the causes are all not the outward causes which we are seeing. They are there, but they are tests for us. And so the real causes are in the head of Allah Ta'ala. And in this virus also we see we have met so many people personally, who they took no precautions. Not only precautions, but they are going out and helping those people who are very, very sick, who have got the COVID, and who are supposed to not mix and meet with anyone. They are in quarantine. But he goes right through and he gives them their medication. He's a pharmacist himself. And he goes close to them and helps them, treats them, does everything for them. 2 years already, but he's got no COVID whatsoever. So it is all in the hands of Allah. On the other hand, there were those medical people, doctors, who locked themselves with the first lockdown. And they did not emerge from their houses. They just remained in their houses, and from there they went to the Qabristan. And when they were, it was written for them, they passed away and they gone to the Qabristan. So everything is in the hands of Allah. Similarly, the solutions are also not just material things, which are permissible and understandable and agreeable protocols, which are all right, which are correct. A person can use them, but not with the trust. And such words that if we don't use these things, we will die. So that is that the yaqeen is on these things. And that is never ever the protection. Protection is in the hands of Allah. And what is not permissible in Shariat, that even the precaution is not permissible also. What is permissible according to Shariat, that only is permissible. So in the solution also is are things which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. And the greatest solution is namaz. Namaz itself, salat, meaning of salat is dua also. And as we understand dua, so one thing very important is, if we want the solution, to come to namaz. And we can see for ourselves from all our acquaintances, our family people, our neighbors, etc., how many of us are making namaz. And that is till afterwards. We ourselves, who pride ourselves or would like to think that we are indeed, I'm a namazi, that since this age of mine, Alhamdulillah, I'm making all my namazes. But if we just check on our namazes presently also, for those of us who would like to think we are namazis, then for Zuhr, we all know Zuhr is 12 rakat. But each one ask ourselves, normally how much Zuhr do I make? Most of us, we are making at the most 10. And many of us, even those who are making namaz, the four sunnahs before Zuhr, many times we are making them after Zuhr. How many of us are making our namaz with takbir-e-ula? That is the requirement of namaz. Namaz is not only just to come in some slap dash up and down and we made some namaz, but iqamat-e-salah, with all its requirements. And all that requirements are, a person who would like to think that I'm a namazi, that I've got deen in me, there should be no question of him missing his takbir-e-ula or being a masbuq. occasionally something out of his control it happened, that is different. But many of us, we have become habitual. Our first rakats of our namazes, most many of us who regard ourselves as namazis, but we are not there for the first rakat. Takbir-e-Ula, we miss it very, very easily. Isha, we learned all that it is 17 rakats. But how many rakats do we make? Asr, 8 rakats. How many of us make our 8 rakats? Occasionally we make that 4 sunnahs. No, it should be a habit. Occasionally for some dire need, we missed it out, that is different. But otherwise, we should be making it. So namaz is very, very important. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, the worst thief is the one who steals in his namaz. We regard these people who have come to loot, etc., in places where all this looting took place. They looted the shops, they looted material things, all the things in the shops, etc. We are looting in the masjid, and we are looting in our namaz, we are looting. Even in quantity and quality, that is Al-Amanul Hafiz. As far as our concentration and devotion is concerned, that we are so weak in that. Whereas our namaz, we should have proper concentration. So our namaz, that is the starting point of our deen, the most important. And from that we can gauge the quality of our iman also, that what is the strength of our iman. So namaz, we all must make an effort on us that we make our full namazes, all. And there are so much so many virtues of namaz, that namaz, one sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best of actions? He said namaz. Second, to look after your parents. Third, jihad. From this hadith and other hadith, ulama have deduced that the most greatest ibadat is namaz. And in our namaz, we who would like to think that we are on deen and we are pious, but consider our namazes. Forget the nafal namazes. If Allah treated us that you just making your faraz, etc., the basics of namaz, your wajibat, your sunnat-e-mu'akkada, you are just doing your basics, and I will just give you your basics also. Now in winter, if we just had to have one vest on, a sun vest, that is enough to cover your body, and just a trouser, just to cover your sitter, not all the extras, what should be our condition? Our meals. If we had everything, and salt is not necessary. If there was no salt, what should be our meals like? And all the other extras, how much extras we have in our meals? How much extras in our cars we have got? And we call them extras also, which are not necessary. All in our houses, how much of extras? But in our deen, then we question that it's nothing, it's not important. There, then that extra. Why we have a problem with that extra? To take from Allah Ta'ala, we want all the extras. But to give to Allah Ta'ala, then even the basics, we are... Then we wonder also why. So the solution are these things. This is the real solution. One is namaz. The quality of namaz, the quantity of namaz, iqamat-e-salah, and to really appreciate namaz. That more than a duty, it becomes a passion, a pleasure for a person to make namaz. Namaz, and in namaz, every portion of namaz is so great. And sajda is the greatest, when a person is closest to Allah Ta'ala. To stand in front of Allah should be a pleasure. To bow down, make ruku, to make sajda, we should enjoy it. Not just up and down. We are hardly up from one sajda, we are making the second sajda. And we just rushing through our namaz. We find commonly many places this complaint comes, many places Allah reward the ulama, they make the announcements also. Jummah time, please make your sunnat mu'akkada. Just faraz salam is made of the faraz namaz, and people start moving out. All our namazes we must make properly. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who misses one namaz, it's like he has lost all his family and all his wealth also. Now at the moment, with all this looting, everyone feels it, and we must feel it also. That the shops were burnt, etc. And we feel it also, and the people who are going through it, whose shops, everything is looted, everything is burnt. There doesn't seem to be a point from where you can start again. But the houses are intact, their families are intact, you must one namaz. It's like all your family also you lost, all your wealth also you lost. So what will, and who felt sorry for so, and who feels sorry now? All of us, we are guilty. That how many people are missing namazes after namazes, and like the whole family is lost, and who is passing any consolence to them, any speaking to them, or trying to help them? Their whole family is lost. Yeah, whatever has happened, Allah Ta'ala restore everything, protect us all. And but see in Konkan with those floods, the shops are gone, the houses are gone, the floods have overtaken everything. Eh? And with floods always cholera comes. When the flood water, and then the sewage system doesn't work, all that sewage mixes with the water. And though there is so much of water everywhere, but there isn't one drop of water to drink. You can't get fresh water. With all that water, and it's raining and coming down, but there isn't one drop of water to drink. What is the condition of those people? So yeah, also it could have been much more worse also. And how many people, what they went through, but they made sabr. So one very, very important thing is our namaz, to get it in order. The other is, which is also namaz in a sense, dua. Dua is very important. And the most effective dua is after namaz, to make namaz. And each one, yeah, again, ask ourselves, as we have got time for our breakfast, we got time for our supper, for our sleeping so much. Today my sleeping, I'm supposed to sleep at this time, I'm late. Tomorrow I have to catch a flight, I have to get up early. I'm losing out on my sleep. My sleep time is fixed also. All our dunya things. So much so that for the phone and whatever messages, and when the messages come, we don't look at the time. Our mind doesn't go at looking at the time until I haven't gone through all my messages. So much of all those things. But and in our deen also, those who would like to think that we have got deen in our lives, we have got time for namaz. This time I must go for Fajr. Fajr Jamaat is this time. I must leave home this time. We got it fixed. Zohar also. And this is necessary and good. And we are doing that for many namazes. For our tilawat. My tilawat I make before Fajr. I make it after Fajr. For we've got times. A few of us maybe got time for our zikr also. Otherwise zikr also, if we get the chance and we think of it, we make it. Otherwise we don't. How many of us are reading our Munajat-e-Maqbool, which is part of our Ma'amulat? How many of us are reading? Each one can ask ourselves. The time for our dua, Munajat-e-Maqbool. And besides Munajat-e-Maqbool, our other duas that we have also. Each one asks, when have I got my slot for dua? I've got slot for my namaz, for my tilawat, but hopefully for our zikr, my yaseen, am I paabind regular with my yaseen, with my three quls every morning and evening, am I doing it? For example, just ask now, today after Maghrib, did I read my three quls or haven't I still read them? And when will I be reading them? Our other surahs also, but at least some a slot for dua. And dua, also there, unfortunately, it's taken as a news item. We hear anything that is happening, what happened in Natal, what happened in Konkan, the floods, etc. It's a news item. But how many of us make dua? And many of us, we make bad dua. Where instead of dua, we make bad dua, that these people deserve it. And they deserve worse also. And how many of us will just say that, but du'as we are making all the time. Why it's not coming right? In other words, na'uzu billah, du'as also don't help. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't answer du'as. And whereas du'as are readily answered by Allah. Allah's promises are 100%. And over Allah has promise that he accepts du'as. But we don't understand the acceptance of du'as also, and we don't see it sometimes. Allah doesn't show it, but it is accepted. And then also the conditions of du'a. We must have halal. If a person has got haram, one haram item of clothing on his body, his food is haram, then where is his du'a going to be accepted? But anyway, du'a also we must make. And each one should think, when is my slot of du'a? There may be, inshallah, many of us who are making tahajjud also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, if you are spending 10 minutes in tahajjud, 10 minutes in du'as. Are we giving 10 minutes in du'as? Very valuable time for du'as to be accepted before Maghrib. How many of us are giving 2 minutes for du'as? 1 minute for du'as? And those who get up for tahajjud, mashallah, 10 minutes or so. After Faraz namaz, normally just a customary du'a. But what is a du'a? That we usually don't make. Even the imam also. It's like more custom. Many places it's more like a sing-song thing. He rhymes it and makes the people happy. And how he makes his du'a. But du'a to ask Allah, to beg Allah. And in fact, tadarru' that you really, your whole body trembles and shakes when you are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah bless us. We even haven't got that concentration. While making du'a also we fall asleep. While making du'a also our mind drifts from where to where. So namaz and du'a, these are great, great solutions for the problems. Whatever problems are coming, and they are just coming, like with the tasbih, the string has been broken, and the seeds are just falling out. So at the moment also, with regard to this other bill that some people want to pass, and putting all our marriage, etc., all those things, under the government laws, and the government will regulate and will see to all that, for that also du'a and namaz. And we all should register our objections also. With the petitions which are available, we all should register our objections also. May Allah give us tawfiq and make this that it comes into our lives. We correct our namazes and our du'as. We see that we are giving time for du'a and seriously we are making du'a for all the for our personal, for the Haramain Sharifain, for the whole world, everywhere. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.